had a really nice program in Szeged yesterday, which is a southerly town just on the border of Serbia. We have a center over there, but when we got there, and went there early to speak with some devotees, it was just so warm outside. It was 40 degrees, and inside it was probably like 45, and that was after we opened up the windows and tried to get some fans blowing. So the prospect of having a long kirtan in there would mean that we'd have a lot of melted bodies, or at least we'd have a lot of smelly bodies. Good thing for us, our friend Suji Judy, who's he's sort of like the Stephen Covey of Hungary, and he's a long time congregation member, a devotee. He came in early to talk to me, and he volunteered his new offices, which are really beautifully appointed, like you expect from these management consultants, training center, and air-conditioned. That was the main thing. He said that it's air-conditioned, it's nice and cool, so when we got there, it was like walking into the Alps or something. And we diverted the guests, and they walked an extra few minutes from the center. Well, I think they appreciated the convenience and the cleanliness and coolness of the program. And we had a lot of new people who came, very inquisitive people who are real potential devotees and real potential congregation members. This morning in class, I was just thanking the devotees, temple devotees, congregation members for their help and support of the development of this center, and really sort of reminding everyone that our initiative here in Hungary at this time is to really establish congregational preaching as the basis, I was going to say financial basis, but as the basis, period, for the development and maintenance of our centers. In the first wave of establishing Krishna consciousness following Srila Prabhupada's example, very committed devotees, you could say full-time devotees or volunteers or monks, came and by their efforts got others to become full-time volunteers, distribute books, train people, and establish Krishna consciousness in a simple temple, and as a consequence of their mostly book distribution, raising up funds to purchase properties. Everyone knows how that works, but obviously that's a self-limiting type of preaching, because the volunteers are the natural preachers, or living a lifestyle where they're practicing Krishna consciousness full-time, have a full-on morning and evening program. They're expected to be preachers for congregation members who are working, have many other obligations, and look towards preachers for spiritual guidance. When the preachers are tied down in the duties of maintenance, their time becomes very limited, very restricted, and therefore the end result becomes that they don't have much time to maintain the spiritual enthusiasm and health of congregation members. So that means our congregational development becomes limited, because everyone is only as Krishna conscious as Krishna consciousness that he gets. And according to how Krishna conscious someone is, that's how much responsibility they'll take for spreading Krishna consciousness. And ultimately that responsibility should be shouldered, as is done by so many other religious organizations, by the congregation, the maintenance of the temples, and ultimately the development. So we here have no plans for this Aroha Panta process. You know, there's two ways of acquiring knowledge. One is from up coming down, and the other one is from down coming up. So just applying this Aroha Avaroha Panta to the process of preaching, we in Hungary have no plan for establishing further sentenced by the Avaroha Panta process, by the descending process, that the institutional management somehow or another inspires some full-time devotees to go and open some center somewhere. But rather, we will preach and preach from the centers where we are and start to inspire congregational members to Aroha Panta from the bottoms up, to by dint of their Krishna consciousness and the needs for maintaining their Krishna consciousness, the facilities they need for maintaining their Krishna consciousness, then as they provide support for that, then the institution or the full-time devotees can reciprocate accordingly. So in acquiring knowledge, Aroha Panta is the empiric process, and it's not favored. Our process of acquiring knowledge is of Aroha Panta, receiving knowledge from authority. In this case, we want to encourage that a combination of the two processes takes place, that by the inspiration of a Krishna conscious institution, devotees, congregation members themselves work cooperatively and take responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness, and to the degree that they're able to provide facilities to that, degree, then the Avaroha, the institution, reciprocates. One guru was asking, well, why is it that, you know, sometimes I feel very inspired? It's a standard question. I feel very inspired, and I'm chanting and doing so much service, and I'm willing to do anything to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission. But then sometimes I lose my enthusiasm, and I give up the process, I give up the responsibilities I've taken, and so on. So I explained to her the obvious answer is that there are so many anarthas within our heart that makes us very much susceptible to the influence of the modes of nature, which Krishna explains always compete. So they come like waves. Sometimes there's a wave of goodness that really inspires us. We become very inspired to practice Krishna consciousness and to advance in devotional service. And sometimes a wave of ignorance comes and overlaps us, and we just get completely bogged down and give up all of our commitments. Here the key is the sense of duty, and it's that sense of duty that keeps us focused, whatever the source of the inspiration is, because it must be done. And you've heard me speak of this recently. So we do things in this world because there's an obligation to do that. Sometimes children really like school, and then sometimes they get into a quarrel or an argument, or someone beats them up, and then they don't want to go to school again. But still, there's a duty to go to school, a legal responsibility, therefore like it or don't like it, you have to do it. And where is it that someone gets the strength for doing that? Well, because that duty, that sense of duty, that it must be done. So, of course, this is looking at it from a Krishna conscious perspective, but even from a broader social or cultural perspective, the modus operandi of society now is becoming more and more, do those things that you like, live in such a way that you can fulfill all of your desires, and overcome all of the obstacles to sense enjoyment and sense gratification that there are in the world. And those are what the values of life are all about. And of course, as people become more and more self-indulgent, then their standards, moral standards, ethical standards, spiritual standards, keep going lower and lower and lower. And therefore, the impetus for duty becomes completely undermined. Because ultimately, there's nothing that really needs to be done, whether you like it or don't like it. The whole idea is avoid anything that you don't like and do everything that you like. And the laws of the land only state that you, well, don't kill anyone, don't steal, don't commit violence, because of course human laws have really divorced themselves in a secular society from God's laws, which means that the bar of what is bad or what shouldn't be done and what you can't indulge in is constantly lowered and lowered and lowered. We were talking about this humorous example of the limbo. I don't even know what that is, but this is out there in I think the Bahamas, Jamaica, in the islands. They have this type of entertainment where they have this horizontal bar, and then they keep lowering it, and people can see how low can you go, how far low you can go, and then still on your feet with your back bent and bent at the knees, how you can actually balance yourself to go under the bar. And this is what modern society is all about. It's about lowering the bar as far as possible. That bar really represents the bar of duty, the bar of between right and wrong. And because the whole basis is that everyone should do whatever they like, so we're becoming extremely selective with doing those, not being able to do the things that we like, and minimizing them as much as possible. To date, for instance, murder is not something that people are supposed to do, although snuff movies were somehow or another in some Asian or East European countries, videos are actually taken where people or children are actually killed. And these are very, very popular in the world. Why? Because people also want to see this. They want to keep lowering the bar. How low can you go? At a previous time, just when I was a child, abortion was completely illegal for any reason or cause. Now that's not the case. Why? Because people want to keep going lower. They want to lower the bar. So now you can, you know, marry your boyfriend. I'm talking about a boy marrying your boyfriend. You can adopt children. How low can you go? And in a society where this is the theme, this is what is advertised, this is the reason for industrial, economic, technological development to keep fulfilling more and more desires, the sense of duty becomes completely undermined. Doing what you don't like to do, doing something when the modes of nature are against you, doing something when it doesn't feel good, because the whole thing is just do those things that feel good. So people lose this sense of duty, and when applied to Krishna consciousness, then they find themselves in a very similar situation. And of course, society is really shooting itself in the foot with this type of philosophy, because ultimately people will go so low that they don't want to work, because that also is something people don't want to do. So in France, for instance, the whole 35-hour week has very, very negatively affected the economy of the country. The fact that abortion is legalized and there are less and less births really spells a problem for developed countries, because they don't have enough of a workforce. Neither they don't have enough of a workforce, but they don't have enough taxes from their workers to maintain the elderly, to maintain the pensions that people are paying, and on and on and on. So this is one of the reasons that new devotees have difficulty with this type of obligation, with this type of concept of duty, because they're being taught how low can you go, whereas in Krishna consciousness our idea is how high can you go, how high can you raise the bar. We want to raise the bar of what should be done and shouldn't be done to match exactly with what Krishna says. And whatever Krishna says to do, we'll do, and what he tells us not to do, then we don't do. Anukulyena sankalpa, pratikulya vivarjanam. So out the window with this, how low can you go?